KRNG Fallon, Reno, Fernley, Sparks, Nevada, and surrounding. Biggest Little Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Ray.
Hey everybody, I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter, and this is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio, 101.3 FM. Getting a couple minute late start here, getting some technology things figured out. We have our guest today is on the phone with us, and it's John Criscione from the North Lyon County Fire Protection District. And first thing is obviously congratulations to you. We are in order for being one of three firefighters at the district promoted to captain.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. I really appreciate that. It means a great deal to me, and it's an absolute honor to have been one of the three chosen to represent the district as one of the new fire captains.
Now, have you got used to yet, Captain John Criscione?
Not just yet. I think it's still going to take a little bit of time. It's been a little bit of a transition. You know, you go from being just a regular firefighter, kind of coming to work as a worker bee, to transitioning into a little more of an administrative role and a little more of a supervisor role. So the plate gets a little more full and things get a little more complicated, but it's very exciting. Very challenging, but I think that's one of the actual enjoyable things about it is, I mean, it's going to be quite the challenge, and I think everybody who was chosen is just absolutely looking forward to it.
Who were the other two gentlemen along with yourself that were chosen?
Myself, and then it was firefighter paramedic Steve Kuntz, and then firefighter EMT Josh Cohen.
And so what does it mean to be a captain? What will you be doing? Will each of you have different duties or similar duties?
That's correct. Each of us have taken on a little bit of a different administrative role. So basically, as the company officer or the captain, each of us is in charge of the day-to-day operations for the shift that we represent, myself being the B shift. There's an A, B, and a C shift. Myself, I'll be the company officer of the B shift. My kind of big role as the company officer, or my big task as one of the administrators now, is going to be I'm going to be in charge of the emergency medical services aspect that the district puts forth. So I represent the district when it comes to all matters of EMS. So I'm the liaison between the state of Nevada EMS office and the district. I do all the teaching for the ACLS, the Advanced Cardiac Life Support, the pediatric classes. I try and gather grants and things like that in regards to EMS. I do all the ordering, help Chief Huntley with specs and things like that on the new ambulance purchases. So each of us is going to have a new role as far as administrative tasks. Steve Kuntz is going to be in charge of the training operations, so he'll be in charge of seeing that the new volunteers and the new employees are trained and brought up to speed on all the new tactics and things that the district is bringing on. Josh Cohen is going to be in charge of maintenance, and so the fleet maintenance, making sure everything's up to par and running accordingly, that nothing is taken out of service unnecessarily. He's in charge of all the station maintenance and things like that. So I think each of us is going to have a real big role, I guess, as far as administrative tasks and things like that, alongside the day-to-day operations of our individual shifts.
So you guys as captains, how does that work with your normal shift? Or you're doing different these other administrative things in addition to running all the calls that you've been running before?
That's absolutely correct. So that's kind of where the tricky part lies. It's a matter of time management now. So alongside with running, you know, on average probably between 15 and 20 calls in a 48-hour period, in those little in-between moments that we have when we're not on an incident, We're now sitting behind the computer. We're putting together training operations. We're ordering supplies. We're putting together classes and doing all our administrative tasks on the side or in between, running all those incidents. So it's going to be a lot of prioritizing, a lot of time management, but it's a lot of the things that, you know, some of us have already been accustomed to, so it's just merely a matter of figuring out how to kind of put it all into one day.
Things you've been doing without the actual title of doing it?
Yeah, so a lot of us have taken on some extra projects just to help the district out because, as we all know, financing and money was a big issue, and that was one of the reasons that the district was never able to staff the department with captains or company officers. So a lot of us had just taken on little extra roles so we could help out, kind of do it on our own time or, like I said, in between incidents. So now the plate's just gotten a little more full, and now we just have to find a way to prioritize the important and just kind of work our way down our list.
What is the benefit to the district to have people in these captains' positions?
Well, I think it gives the district a duty officer and somebody who's really in charge 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We obviously can't expect Chief Huntley to be there all the time. He's an administrator. He's a Monday through Friday. He's an 8-to-5 chief, so... unfortunately, we don't have the luxury like other larger departments to have positions like battalion chiefs who kind of run the administration as well as the company officer or the duty shift. So it gives the district accountability and has somebody there who can answer questions and who can run incidents and who can be accountable for when Chief Huntley is absent.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? How long have you been with the district and what certifications you have and what your background as a firefighter is?
Absolutely. So I have been lucky enough to have been with the district now for, I'm just coming up on my 6th year, happily married to my sweetheart of a wife for coming up on our 3rd year of marriage. I've got about almost 13 years in now as a paramedic. I used to work actually for Squaw Valley Fire Department prior to coming to the district. I've been an EMS instructor with the state of Nevada for approximately 8 years. I taught the paramedic program at Truckee Meadows Community College for 6 years. My certifications include everything from the fire officer certification all the way through my teaching credentials. So I've got advanced cardiac life support, basic cardiac life support, pediatric. I sit on the delegating committee for the International Trauma Life Support for the state of Nevada. I'm a medical unit leader for a type 2 team in the wildland incident. I've got engine boss certification for the wildland incident. Just a pretty wide variable. It's just something that I've loved to do over the years and absolutely just love the education portion of it, both teaching and going to classes. So I figure with this position and this kind of a job, the moment you become stagnant and stop learning is probably the moment that it's time to kind of hang it up. So I enjoy the learning aspect of it. Everything is constantly changing. There's a new dynamic every day. I don't think we see the same thing twice. So it's best to be prepared and always on top of things. So I really, really do enjoy the educational part of it, and that gives me the opportunity to pass it down to the other people that maybe haven't been doing it as long as I have.
When you got into the business, was it the fire side or the EMS side that you were most interested in and got you interested in emergency services?
To be quite honest, I honestly think it was the EMS side. I've always had a trigger for the thinking part of it, for the trying to figure things out, and you know, to be able to really lend a helping hand in somebody's most critical time of need. When you can go to work and actually make a positive difference in someone's life, you know, this, they call 911 because they think they're honestly having probably the worst day of their life. And when you're able to make a positive impact on that, even if it's in the most small way, it's a very rewarding way to spend your day, to have a career, to go to work. So the EMS part has always intrigued me, and the fire aspect of it has just honestly been an added bonus.
Takes a certain personality to be able to do that kind of thing each and every day. I imagine you see a lot of things that have to be pretty gut-wrenching sometimes.
It does. You have to have a tendency to both be sympathetic and empathetic, but you have to be able to separate the personal feelings, I think, and understand that there's a job to do and somebody is there that is depending on you at the time. And you have to put everything else aside, feelings included, and really just focus on the task at hand. Somebody needs you. Your job is there to provide them with a service, a very positive, life-saving service. And yes, I mean, it can be a bit gut-wrenching at times, but at the end of the day, you know, hopefully you're able to make a positive impact and a positive difference, and it's a very rewarding feeling.
You mentioned when you first started talking about having three shifts. How does staffing at the district work? How many people are on duty at a time, and how does that work?
So right now, the way our staffing works is, like I said, we have an A, B, and a C shift, and everybody's staffed out of Station 61, which is right there at 195 East Main Street, right downtown. So we have two firefighter EMTs on per day and two firefighter paramedics, one of which whom is a company officer now. So we work a 48-96 schedule, so we're on for two full days. We basically live at the fire station when we're not running incidents, and then we're off for four. So it's a pretty extensive schedule. For about 48 hours, like I said, you average about 20 incidents. So unfortunately, we don't have a hospital in Fernley, so when we transport a patient, typically we go to Reno or Sparks. So we're looking at, from the beginning of the incident to the end of it, about a two-hour turnaround time. So it's a little more extensive than most places that have a local facility that they can actually respond to. So it makes things a little more difficult.
So you cook your meals, you sleep at the fire station when you're here for those 2 days?
Absolutely. We eat as a family, we sleep as a family, and we run calls as a family. So we do everything together when we're there for 48 hours. So, and a lot of the times when we're off for 96 hours, we do a lot of things together as well. So it's a very tight-knit group. We only have 12 full-time line staff at the moment, so with the hopes of obviously adding more staff members, because that's what we really need, is just additional boots on the ground and some extra bodies to just kind of help out with the large call volume that we respond to. So, yeah, we're a very close-knit group.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our short commercial break, so if you can just hang on for a couple of minutes while we play a commercial here, and we'll be right back to you. For the listeners, I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio, 101.3 FM, and we'll be right back.
101.3 Biggest Little Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Perea.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio, 101.3 FM. And I'm visiting on the phone with our guest today, Captain John Criscione of the North Lyon County Fire Protection District. Are you still with us, John?
Yes, sir.
All right. Tying back into what we were talking about right before the break, and you were talking about how the staffing works, I was curious, the district sent a crew of firefighters to Utah for the huge Bryan Head fire that's burned, I think the last number I saw was 170,000 acres, and I'm sure that's dwarfed by now, but how does that work when you have a crew out of the area? How does that affect the staffing here in the district?
So in order to be able to get a crew out like that, and we try to do it as often as possible during the summer for a couple of reasons. The biggest one is it generates a lot of revenue for the district itself, being that it's federally funded, the fires are big, the federal government comes in with FEMA and things like that. So as far as the staffing goes, whenever we're able to send out an engine or we get a request, prior to sending it out, we make sure that we have the capabilities of backfilling those positions. So basically what it means is everybody steps up and actually puts a little more on their plate. So if we send out one paramedic and two firefighter EMTs, on an average, they usually go out for about 14 days or so. We figure out for those 14 days how we're going to manage the staffing level back at the fire station first and foremost, because the community of Fernley obviously has to come before anything else. That's where our obligation is and needs to be. So if we're able to meet the staffing levels and people are able to pick up extra shifts and they're able to backfill those positions and we're able to find the coverage necessary to keep our minimal staffing levels, which is 4 people on per day, then we'll go ahead and send the fire engine out. Unfortunately, if we're not able to do that, people are on vacation or we're just not able to get a hold of anybody, or it's just another circumstance comes up, then we'll go ahead and hold the fire engine. It really all depends on our ability to keep our staffing levels where they are for our commitment to the community of Fernley.
So in a practical sense, I think there was a fire here a couple weeks ago, a house fire, and I talked to you about that one, and I think you told me you were on your third or fourth day on duty as opposed to two on and then the time off. You were working a couple of extra days to make up. So is that's basically how you do that?
That's correct, yeah. So a lot of us will volunteer to hold over. We'll pick up those extra shifts so we can get that engine out to kind of help our neighbors generate revenue for the district. And it's a real morale booster. I think it gives some of the staffing members the ability to go fight fire in the wild land and to see different aspects of the state or the different states and country. And so it really kind of breaks up your day-to-day. And I think it's a real morale booster, and everybody just absolutely loves to do it. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, I just got off this morning, and I was on I finished my fourth day yesterday. So I did 96 hours in a row again. So those gentlemen are set to come back actually tomorrow night. So that's a good thing. We'll have our whole crew back. Our whole district will be at full staffing, and we'll see where the next one takes us. We might get another request over the weekend, depending on what's going on around us.
How long have these guys been there? How many of them are there from the district?
There's 4 firefighters, 1 firefighter paramedic, and 3 firefighter EMTs out there right now. And as of tomorrow, they will be out there 14 days. So tomorrow is their 14th day, which will be their last day of work. Right now, they've been reassigned to the Taper Flats Fire, which is in Elko. And tomorrow will be their last day of work, so they will complete their last day of work and probably stay the night and return the following morning.
Oh, so they went from Utah to Elko?
They did, yeah. Yeah. So they were released from Utah. They spent a day or two in Wendover and then over to Elko, and that's where they've been for probably the last 3 days, I believe.
And I know...
As the fires begin to wrap up, they are able to be reassigned to a new fire, mm-hmm. something that needs fresh or new resources. So it really just kind of depends on where they at and where they're at in their stage of the fire.
How do you decide who's going to go? Is that volunteer basis or?
No, we've got a standard operating procedure that we've put together, and basically how it works is, like I said, we have 6 paramedics on staff and 6 firefighter EMTs. And so basically what we do is try to, at the beginning of each fire season, almost draw straws. And we create a list from top to bottom, 1 through 6 on either side. And as the resource orders come in, we actually start pulling from the list from the top. So our SOP states that if you're available to go out of district and we're able to find the staffing to cover it, then you'll be able to go. If you deny the request, then we go to the person next to you, and the list just keeps rotating and fluctuating. So it's a pretty pretty fair way. It seems to be the fairest way that we can come up with in order to get everybody the opportunity, and it just it kind of breaks it up for everybody.
So here locally, we've had quite a few incidents recently. That obviously the 4th of July was one day that kept you guys running. What are some of the things that you're seeing around here? It seems like we've had several home structure fires here recently, and obviously a lot of smoke around and brush fires and really close.
Yeah, as far as the structure fires go, you know, there hasn't been really any common ground in retrospect to, I think we've had about three or four over the last month. And really, it's just been a few unfortunate incidents. As far as the wildland, you know, usually those things stem from either maybe a burn, an illegal burn, or something that got out of way. As far as the 4th of July goes, obviously there was a lot of people playing with fireworks, you know, when they were encouraged and actually told that it was illegal. People still wanted to have a good time, and they figured that included shooting off fireworks. So, unfortunately, it sparked quite a few fires on the 4th of July and kept the district running around for the better part of the day into probably the better part of the evening. So, thankfully, that evening, no structures were lost. Nobody was hurt. Everything worked out okay. But it just goes to show you that the rules are put in place for a reason. The district sets these guidelines and these rules for the safety of the community and the safety of the public. And if they're not followed, it can have detrimental effect.
A lot of the, a couple of the brush fires that have, the wildfires here locally have been kind of fairly close to the city. How much involvement does have the district had fighting those, or how does that work if you have a wildfire here like the Truckee fire or the Earthstone fire that came
when
this
it comes
way?
To the local responses and things like that, really it just depends on the mutual aid requests and things like that. So it depends where the fire's at and who's going to be in charge of it, and that really depends on the necessity of the exterior agencies and things like that. So when it comes to things around Fernley, I think we've been involved in one of them, which was the Truckee fire that started in between Wadsworth and Nixon and kind of worked its way to the east. We did some structure protection over the Duffy Road area, but a lot of it was taken care of by Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District, along with the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service, things like that. So our contribution to things like that, unless it's within the district boundaries, are really based on their need for the mutual aid. So if they have enough resources and they're adequately able to fight the fire, they may not call us. But when there's three or four different things going on, the potential for reaching out for your neighbors is usually there.
And we've got about a minute and a half, and one last thing I kind of wanted to ask you about, the staff of 12 firefighters and EMTs that you guys have on the district, and then you also have a squad of volunteers. How's that relationship work between the staff and the volunteers?
You know, I think we've got an incredible relationship with our volunteers. They follow the same training program we do, the same set of standards, the same set of operating procedures. So they come in, they do their training with us. We encourage them to come do rides with us. We encourage them to participate in any educational opportunities that we provide. They are absolutely a necessity for our district, being that we are so short-staffed. And we've got some great folks that really, really give up the better part of their day, their night, when they have full-time jobs. They take the time out of their day, and they respond to these incidents because they care about their community. They care about the place that they live in. And they absolutely want to make a difference. And not all of them have the desire or the goal to become full-time firefighters. A lot of them have careers of their own. They do it because they care about the community that they represent. So I think our full-time staff members see that, and it really just creates a unique bond between the two. They're always at the station. They're always welcome to participate. I mean, we consider them to be just as much as a family as the 12 full-time firefighters that are there. So they're absolutely all amazing, and there is no way that the district could function without any of them.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us on the show today, and congratulations again, and to the other two for the promotion to captain. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Hey, thank you very much, Robert. I really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for allowing me to participate. And again, it's an absolute honor to have been chosen as a captain to represent the North Lyon County Fire Protection District, and I look forward to providing years of service to the city of Fernley. So thank you very much again for having me.
All right. Well, thank you, and thank you for listening, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio, 101.3 FM.